This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy draft day to you. In fact, I thought that's where Seth was going. I thought he was what's the name of the player in draft day? I'm going to be completely honest. I've not watched the movie.
Bo Callahan.
There is like Bo Callahan or Bus. I thought that's where he was.
No, that's Vontae Mack.
Is it Vontae Mack?
Vontae Mack.
Something to that effect. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The people that have watched. And if you haven't, you're in the same place that I am. It's cool. All right. Let's get going on a first round Thursday here in the loop. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, LaFiggy Fig, and you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Also, appreciation to the MoCaram Injury Lawyers for providing the live streams both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610 and 610 Houston. What a day.
What a sports day
that you got set up for you here. And as Sean was talking about it when we were cross-talking, shout out to Rocky saying Vontae Mack no matter what. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But as we were cross-talking, Sean was talking about like what if great vibes, I shudder to think what my emotional state would be coming today if you didn't get an Astros sweep, more importantly, if you didn't get a Rockets tying of the series, and then you're going into round one of the draft with all of the fraught, you know, moving machinations up and down, all of the scuttlebutt, a word that I keep saying, and I'm blaming in some way Sean Pendergast as well for that. Like all of that about the draft, my emotional state would be very fraught. But right now, I'm cruising, baby.
It makes you feel better about the draft. Everything does. The way the Astros seem to have been, you know, heaven forbid, and I'm too early here, but, you know, kind of turning the corner early.
Never wrong, just early. That's all.
And obviously last night, getting a number of big breaks and a number of big plays and moments and performances from some players. I mean, it just makes you feel good all around.
All right, you say some players, and we could talk about more players. In fact, we should talk about more players. There's a lot of folks to credit. Some folks to discredit, in fact. Hello, Draymond Green. When is your reign of antics going to end? But I would like to start right here. The Jalen Green game, baby.
Yeah.
Jalen Green was phenomenal in a real answer to what was a stinker of a game one. Jalen Green, 38 of them things offensively in a 109-94 victory for your Houston Rockets. They win game two. They level the series before they ship off to San Francisco to play on Saturday. But Jalen Green, 38 points, a nice 6 assists as well on reasonably efficient shooting, 13 to 25. The 3-point shot really ticked up once it went in such a way where the 3-point shooting was a little bit suspect early, and then it was just like, oh, we need to bury them. Here come all these 3-pointers for you. I got one here. I got another one for you here. I got all this for you here. You want to take your victory lap? Because I feel like you're waiting to take your victory lap.
Hey, man, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, things are said and things are remembered. I said I needed 28 or 30 out of Jalen Green. I needed 28 out of 30 out of one of these guys. And it was going to, you know, the most likely candidate was Jalen Green. But that's the extent of that, because this is him, man. This is the way that we hope that he would perform from the start. And I actually give him more credit than even just 38 points and what a, you know, magnificent game that he played.
I'm interested to see what the additional credit is, because there were some things that I was very impressed with.
Self-awareness. The maturity that he showed after game one. And he said it. Because what did I say? And I was kind of hesitant to say it, but I thought it was accurate. I said he wilted, you know, in game one.
Okay.
He said pretty much the same thing after last night's game.
Let's hear it from Jalen Green. This is Jalen Green talking about, you know, the lights and such.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Fig. I realized that you're getting yourself set up still. Yeah, this is Jalen Green talking about the circumstances.
Mindset. But yeah, that first game, you know, the lights were bright. The crowd was here. The court looked huge. So, yeah, I couldn't really get a chance to, you know, settle in. My legs was a little shaky. But, you know, that's part of it. Went through it, and, you know, I feel like I did a good job answering back.
To be able to admit that, you know, publicly, I think that says a lot about just him and his maturity and the self-awareness, as I said.
It helps when you have a great game.
But, no, absolutely it helps sure. when you have a great game. But a lot of people wouldn't have done that. You know, like, they would have come up with, finally found my shot. Whatever, you know, it was. But I think it shows not just the maturity, but I feel like it shows that he really has settled in. Like, that could be a good sign moving forward.
Yeah, to some degree, I think that's the case. Real quick before we move on, I do also want to give a little hat tip to C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. who, ball knower, more than just football. This is C.J. Stroud Monday talking about the Rockets game, and it seems like, compare that to what Jalen said here.
You know, it takes time for young guys, and, you know, me being a young dude, I know it's a different sport, but it's the same type of environment. It takes a little adjusting. The court look a little different. For us, the field looks different. The stands, the lights a little brighter. And it just takes time to get adjusted. The speed is a little more, and, you know, you're playing against some of your childhood favorite players. Like, for me, it was going against Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. It's like, damn, I'm really going against some legends, and I got to bring my A game. And I think for them, they'll slow down. They'll start to make their shots.
Is that not what happened?
That is exactly what happened.
Shout out to CJ Ballnower.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. There was a level of maturity in that response.
I think he settled in.
I think he did to some degree. Yeah. And one of the things is, I also want to bring this around to Ime Udoka, because I think that there was a level of challenge. I'll give you what he said was the conversation with Jalen Green. But it's very evident that Jalen Green, whether it was Ime or whether it was himself, he understood the challenge that he mm-hmm. had. And he stood up to it, mm-hmm. especially because early on you could see he was attacking, and this honestly falls in with the entirety of the team, and which is why I believe it to be an mm-hmm. edict from the coaching, where it was evident one of the big changes in this game was they were looking to attack, but also all the way through their attack, up to actually finishing mm-hmm. a layup or what have you, they kept in mind, you can always pass the ball here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Jalen Green, particularly when you saw the height of his development towards the end of this basketball season, was attacking, but also still remembering that you can play make out of that, and that's a huge part of your role. And he did a great job of that early in this game, especially, and I think that set the tone for the game for him and for the entirety of the team.
He did, but you know the counter to that I loved. He also did a couple of heat checks, and
he did a few more than a couple. If I was going to be a jerk right now,
no, but some of them went in.
Absolutely.
Eighth made, man.
If I was going to be a jerk right now, I could say that he lost the plot a little bit as the game went along. Where like the foul that he had driving in, where they set a very high screen and roll, which I loved. I loved mm-hmm. that adjustment. Set the screen and roll high for him and let him get downhill with some gusto, with some speed. He was coming downhill. There's three Warriors showing to the basketball. And they're not all crashing in as quickly to mm-hmm. you know, show him like actual bodies in front of him. And he knows he's fast enough to go. He goes. He tries to attack the basket. He misses it with kind of a lackluster layup, but they ultimately challenge to get the foul.
Yeah.
On that play, Jabari Smith Jr. sitting in the corner wide, booty butt, naked open.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the playmaker in you should absolutely still see that and go, three Warriors jerseys, open dude at the corner, I'm making that pass.
Yeah.
But he was in heat check mode, which I'm not going to begrudge him entirely, but I do think that you do need to stay on the plot. That's me being a jerk while still understanding all of that ended up netted out with a 38-6 basketball game in which he really set the tone offensively and allowed you to go win this
basketball. I don't think that's being a jerk. I think what is the most encouraging thing for me is not just Jalen Green had that game that we were craving for, that I specifically called for, that they needed. It's not that. That's not the most encouraging thing. The most encouraging thing is, I think, as I mentioned a second ago, he seems to have settled in. I don't think those lights are going to be bright anymore. This is a good road team. They're going to have some time off. He's confident. So going to Golden State is not going to be a big issue. And then not just self-awareness, you know, in terms of how he handled things, self-awareness on the floor. Like, as you mentioned, he was – sort of reading the floor properly. It wasn't a perfect game by any stretch, and you just pointed that out. I think it wasn't a perfect game for the Rockets in general. They still out-rebounded them. They made some free throws, which was good. But they were, in fact, I was texting you guys after the first quarter, the Rockets were up 10. I'm like, I still don't have a feel for this game. It was that kind of erratic, you know. But the self-awareness on the floor, to take those heat checks when he knows, almost like a mini Jimmy Butler, like, should I pass here? Should, you know, he was making some great defensive plays. That steal and dunk was incredible.
I think I sent it to you verbatim.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm probably being very annoying in this moment in the text chat. Y'all can let me know if that's the case or not. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to do the thing where I'm going to read it verbatim as to not misquote myself in this instance. And I think that all caps with the yelling emoji, I said, man, I sent y'all a lot of text, didn't I? Get on the floor, Jalen. Yeah. Because that's what, I mean, he was, you saw the energy, the effort, you saw that really show up. And it wasn't just him, it was everybody. But Jalen seems to be a level of barometer for this team. And that was a great one. Shout out to the 281 on the text line who mentions, I like when Jalen hit that first three. You can tell it did something to him because the effort he put in on defense and Curry, it showed, and that's absolutely what we're talking about.
No, but it was everything too. He made some mistakes, but there were so many moments that he had a good feel. He made a big defensive play. He had a good feel for when to. The baseline cuts were outstanding all night long, coming from the corner, not just hitting, waiting for a corner three, but cutting on the drive. Those were outstanding. You could tell they were in attack mode. There were some mistakes, but he was the star, obviously, but he was a star in more ways than just 38 points.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do a mini who hooped real quick? Do you want to?
Let's do it.
Because like Jalen Green absolutely stood out, and he kind of had that singular presence. And I do want to kind of ask how sustainable it is for him in general. But I feel like it's also worth noting the other folks that showed up, and we could start with just the general team number that illustrates one of those things. Is hey, thanks for knocking down some shots, fellas.
Not just knocking down some shots, but knocking down some free throws. Knocking down some free throws, that was big.
37.5% from three percentage, 80% from free throw line, which is much better than what was like the 50% that they were shooting from the free throw line.
Tari Eason. That to me was
For throwing that towel at Pat just Pat Spencer.
Well, that's
he
too. Was
he must have been so offended like we were that Steve Kerr had a man wearing number 61 out there.
What did Figgy call him?
I'm like, who? I'm like, that dude looked like Pat McAfee out there, man. Like, who the hell is that?
My favorite tweet of the night is somebody saying, why are the Warriors playing a park ranger?
Yeah.
Because he sure does it. But yeah, man, like, that's an illustration of one of the other big.
It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't.
That brother was the second leading scorer at one point, man. It was Curry and then him with nine.
He was like that guy on the hard top that you're like, he ain't no good. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
Oh, damn.
Whoa.
And this is why we absolutely have to talk about, feel like it's probably a problem that I neglected it to this point. Jimmy Butler going out in this game, falling on his keister. It looked like a tailbone. They're calling it a pelvis contusion. He will have an MRI today, and that's going to be hugely important in what this game is, because you scored 109 points, which definitely feels like something that is relatively tenable. I don't know that you're especially going to get 38 points from Jalen Green, and we'll talk more about that as well. But the idea that you had guys knocking down shots, that you did the rebound thing, you shot reasonable, and you won by 15. What does that look like if you have Jimmy Butler not having three and playing those minutes? I'm very interested, but the MRI today could, you know, give you an opportunity to learn that, or it could entirely not give you an opportunity to learn that, which would be a great benefit to the Rockets and also feel like a karmic balance considering how this series has gone in the history between these two teams.
Yeah, since we're in the mode of reading our texts on air, I'm going to read the text that I sent you guys about Jimmy Butler. Before it was even announced that he was going to get an MRI, this was after he walked off the floor. I said, this may even change the series. That limp told me it was more than his back. It was more his back than his tailbone, and that would linger for a while. I think the Warriors are going to – they're in a world of trouble if it is something that's going to – and I know they have 2 days off, basically three, you know, counting
– Well, there's also a travel day, so it's going to be – it'll feel a little bit more like a two for them.
But I don't care how many days off. If he misses the next game, it's going to be a much more serious thing. And you know, frankly, you hate to see it happen, but you take it if you're a Rockets fan.
All right, so let's do an impromptu what was most encouraging for you, because from the 8-3-2 they sent in what was encouraging for them, which was Fred's lack of field goals this time around and deferring to the youth. It's interesting because I asked, I sent a text to B. Scott, and that'll come up in confessions, actually. I sent a text to B. Scott, who was at the game, obviously being an intrepid reporter as he always is. And I asked him, to your eye, has Fred had a good game, a bad game, or something else? Because, like, I looked at the score, or looked at the box score at that point, and he had, what was it, like 5 points or 1 of 5 shooting at that point or something, and he only finished 2 of 8. But it definitely felt like it was like, oh, it's a solid game.
Solid maybe at best is where I would put it. Solid maybe at best.
And I felt like, and I, well, circle back around to Ime. We obviously will talk about this game again because a huge victory that that negates a 0-2 deficit going on the road as a young team in the first round or first time in playing in the playoffs. Mind you, actually, I should have mentioned this. The first victory for the Rockets in the playoffs in 1,692 days.
Yeah. Just a couple more real encouraging things for me. And then we probably will circle back to We will circle back to this. 17, 16, and 7 from Şengün, man. He's 24, right? 24 going on 30. Like, that dude just seems polished right now. Like, because he's played in Europe since he was 16 years old as a professional. I don't think that this moment is too big for him. And then the other thing that's encouraging to me, I'm 90% sure Draymond Green is going to get tossed from at least one game.
Are you? Because I'm not. Yeah, the way the NBA
he's gonna
blow lets
a
him.
Gasket. He's going to blow a gasket.
I mean, I was going to say, has he not already? But I've seen Draymond Green. He has
it's
more.
Leaking
he
right
is capable
it's
of
leaking
even more.
Right now. Yeah.
He is capable of even more of those things.
Yeah.
Over under how many times Reggie says interesting in the show? Over 20, up to 5 now in 15 minutes in the show. Fair enough.
I think that's interesting.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And from the, on the text line, somebody said, did Figgy get any Game 2 vibe checks? Well, you will have to listen to Figgy's mixtape 1:20 p.m. to find out if anybody sent some vibe checks from the arena. But yeah, a 109-94 victory for the Rockets, leveling out the series, winning the must-win as John Lopez had termed
hey,
it.
Hey, no, I didn't. Don't put words in my mouth.
I think you pretty much termed it that. But yeah, huge, huge game, especially from Jalen Green answering the bell that and the call that he established for himself that I know the email Udoka established for him, and I think a lot of Rockets fans had for this team. We'll circle back around to that game again as we continue in, on this Thursday. NFL Draft Day, round one tonight. You'll get Texans All Access, or Texans Radio started at 6, and then the actual selecting begins at 7. You'll hear that on, here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, if Nick Caserio stays true to his draft DNA, what will he do tonight? Let's examine that next.